Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 25 to close at 20,812. S&P 500 down 6 at 2,362. NASDAQ Composite down 36 at 5,825. Russell 2000 Small and Mid-Caps down 21 at 1,386. Yield on the 10-year Treasury down 1 basis point at 2.36%. Oil down 13 cents at $53.92, and gold down $4.30 at $12.48.80 per ounce. Well, after 12 straight record high closes, the Dow Industrial Average finally posted a losing session. No milk and cookies today. It was the best run of record highs since 1987. After topping out at 103.8 on January 3rd, the U.S. dollar has weakened against a basket of its peers, pulling back into the 100 area, up slightly today. Dollar weakness is good news for the multinationals that dominate the S&P 500. Stocks rallied right after the election. Bonds sold off for roughly the same reasons. Yields on the benchmark 10-year Treasury note rose to a high of 2.64% in the middle of December. Yields, of course, move opposite to prices. And that was a reflection of expectations for faster growth. But in the past month, buyers returned to bonds, pushing yields down as low as 2.32% and today finishing at 2.36%. The rally in bonds might be explained by recent headlines that Trump's proposed stimulus plans will take longer to implement than previously expected, and that the stimulus will be less expansionary than first thought. Today, the market paused ahead of President Trump's address before Congress, and the markets will be looking for specifics with specific timelines. President Trump speaks to a joint session of Congress tonight, where investors hope for more details on the administration's plans for tax reform, deregulation, and infrastructure spending. The future of the Affordable Care Act could also be a subject, as well as updates on the border tax adjustment. Trump said he believes the extra $54 billion he has proposed spending on the U.S. military will be offset by a stronger economy, as well as cuts in discretionary spending. Still to be answered, what will be cut, and how will the military spend an extra $54 billion, and how will it be accounted for? Today, President Trump signed an executive order that asked new EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt to begin the long process of repealing the Clean Water Rule, also known as the Waters of the U.S. Rule, and replacing it with something else. Here's the catch. Rolling back this rule won't be easy to do. By law, Pruitt must go through the years-long federal rulemaking process and replace the Obama-era regulation with his own version, and then defend it in court as legally superior. And as Pruitt's about to find out, figuring out which bodies of water deserve protection is a maddeningly complex task that could take years and years. Gross domestic product increased at a 1.9% annual rate, according to the Commerce Department's second estimate for the fourth quarter, confirming the estimate published last month. Output increased at a 3.5% rate in the third quarter. The economy grew 1.6% for all of 2016, worst performance since 2011, after expanding 2.6% in 2015. Consumer spending was revised from 2.5% to 3%. Economic data early in the first quarter has been mixed, with retail sales rising in January, but home building and business spending on capital goods easing. The U.S. trade deficit for goods widened in January. Americans snapped up consumer goods made abroad. The advance look at the trade deficit widened 7.6% to $69 billion. Imports widened by $4.4 billion, while exports fell by $400 million. Imports of consumer goods jumped 4.8% in January and climbed 7.8% over 12 months. The S&P Case-Shiller 20-City Index rose 5.6% in the three-month period ending in December compared to a year ago. That's up from a 5.2% annual gain in November. There were fewer houses for sale, and demand was strong. The broader national index rose 5.8% for the year in the December period. That's the strongest gain in 30 months. In December, the hottest residential real estate markets were again in the West. Seattle prices rose 10.8% compared to a year ago. In Phoenix, home prices up 0.2% in December and 4.9% compared to a year ago. The Conference Board's survey of consumer confidence rose to 114.8 in February from 111.6 in January. It's the highest level since July 2001. Only 20% of survey respondents said jobs are hard to get. That is an 8-year low. In February, the Present Situation Index rose to 133.4 from 130. The index measures how Americans feel now. The Expectations Index, that looks 6 months ahead, increased to 102.4 from 99.3 last month. The Senate has confirmed billionaire investor Wilbur Ross as Commerce Secretary, clearing another one of Trump's economic team members. Ross has agreed to divest from much of his business empire. Dallas Fed President Rob Kaplan says the financial market is pricing in the probability of an interest rate hike by the Federal Reserve in either March, May, or June, and that is likely in the neighborhood of where we're heading, Kaplan said. He went on to add, I don't think the exact timing is the most important thing. I think the path of rates is. Kaplan, who is a rate policy voter this year, said the economy is making good progress toward the Fed's goal of full employment and a stable 2% rate of inflation. Meanwhile, Philadelphia Fed President Patrick Harker, another rate policy voter, said today, I see three hikes as appropriate for 2017, assuming things stay on track. Well, if the Fed does raise rates in 2 weeks, we've been warned. Those comments help push the 2-year yield to its highest level since December. Interest rate futures implied traders see a nearly 57% chance the Fed will raise rates at its next meeting, March 14th and 15th. That's up from roughly 31% late on Monday, according to Reuters data. Morgan Stanley gave some wealth management clients incorrect tax information that caused them to underpay and others to overpay. The bank is setting aside $70 million to cover the cost and is in discussions with the IRS over the errors that occurred in tax years 2011 through 2016. South Korean authorities have formally charged the heir of Samsung, J.Y. Lee, with bribery and embezzlement in the corruption scandal that has rocked the country's political establishment. Samsung Electronics President Park Sang-jin has also resigned, as well as Vice Chair Choi Ji-sung. YouTube viewers worldwide are now watching more than 1 billion hours of videos a day, threatening to eclipse U.S. television viewership, which is estimated at 1.25 billion hours per day. YouTube surpassed the figure, which represents a tenfold increase since 2012. YouTube surpassed it late last year. By comparison, Facebook and Netflix, as of January 2016, counted 100 million and 116 million hours of daily video views, respectively. Goes to show, Comcast has announced a deal that will allow customers with the latest gear to search for and watch YouTube videos through their cable boxes. The deal follows a similar tie-up with Netflix unveiled last July. YouTube apps are available through many smart TVs and internet-connected boxes like Roku, but those don't allow for an integrated search across traditional TV networks and Netflix. YouTube, meanwhile, is getting ready to take on traditional cable companies, today unveiling Unplugged, a live TV service streamed over the Internet. Unplugged will be similar to Dish's Sling TV and AT&T's DirecTV Now, allowing you to subscribe to a so-called skinny bundle of popular pay TV channels at a cost of around $30 to $40 per month. A large swath of the Internet went down today when Amazon's cloud-based Simple Storage Service, or S3, went offline. Amazon's service provides website and image hosting and storage capabilities for a variety of companies, including Dropbox, Slack, Snapchat's Bitmoji, parts of Amazon itself, and a slew of others. UBS has published a research report on Apple, writing the company may have over 1,000 engineers working on a project in Israel that could be related to AR, augmented reality. Augmented reality is an area where Apple could leapfrog competition in providing a superior user experience. This could result in sustained iPhone retention rates and more switchers. However, if you really want the skinny on Apple, they were holding their annual shareholder meeting today, and Apple CEO Tim Cook predicts tons of revenue from future stuff he says he can't talk about. Target forecast a drop in full-year sales at established stores and reported a steeper-than-expected fall in holiday quarter sales due to unexpected softness at its stores. Target net sales have now declined for 6 quarters in a row. Shoppers increasingly gravitate to online retailers. Target said it expects sales at stores open at least a year to decline in the low single-digit percentage range, and they cut earnings guidance some 16% to 24%. Target shares down about 13% today at a two-year low. Valeant Pharmaceuticals posted better-than-expected earnings and revenue for the fourth quarter, cut costs, saw strength in its Bausch & Lomb eye care business. However, revenue was down 13% from a year ago, and the company is still struggling to regain investor confidence. Starbucks will locate one of its ultra-luxurious coffee roasteries in Milan, Italy, marking the chain's first entry into the Italian coffee market, where founder and CEO Howard Schultz originally drew inspiration for the company. Starbucks plans to open 20 to 30 roastery locations worldwide. Dow Jones Industrial Average today down 25 at 20,812. S&P 500 down 6 at 2,362. NASDAQ Composite down 36 at 5,825. Follow along, moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio. The daily blog is eatthebankers.com.